on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
7 past 9, good morning and welcome to the program. Congratulations to Kevin Muscat and his team. A magnificent victory in the A-League Grand Final. A 3-0 win over Sydney FC was spectacular. The decision to give Muscat the job after Ange Postecoglou left to coach the Socceroos was an inspiring one. Muscat assembled in his first year as coach a great squad of players. The signing of Bessart Berisha was gold, and from day one, he embraced victory in the fans. He delivered on the big stage. Some say this victory team is the best ever assembled in the A-League, winning both finals with a goal line of 6-0 combined, showing just how ruthless this team is. Victory are simply the best. I'm KB. That's my take.
Straight to Barbarouzis, who fires it across. And here's Berisha! Bessart Berisha creates history by scoring in the third grand final. This is his stage. Shuffler, Barbarouzis, safe first time. Barbarouzis! That should do it for the victory. Surely they're heading for the trophy now, Kevin Muscat's team. Lee Brookson busting a gut to make it 4. Kalfala slides it through. It's Lee Brookson!
Will very deserved. The boys are incredible.
It's been a long, painful wait. Credit to you guys because you keep coming out in numbers and supporting us each year. This is for you.
We've been outstanding all season and everyone was expecting us to win. Pressure comes with that. You know, I thought tonight the players, once again, were outstanding. You're simply the
best. Yes, simply the best. Congratulations to Melbourne Victory winning the A-League Grand Final. 9429 1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433981116. If you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29, you can also tweet at Hungry for Sport. Coming up, Patrick Smith is about to join us, taking your calls on all things sport. It's always your forum. You can fire up his famous Goose and Gush. You may have some early nominations for that. Mark Allen will join us with the World of Golf, and Zappas, of course, will celebrate that great win when he joins us just after the 10 o'clock news. Pete Ryan will join us from the AFL.com. Of course, the latest injury news and also the MRP charges. Brett Phillips on the world of tennis as we head to the French. And then Weekend Siren when we look at the whole weekend of football with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake. But coming up, Patrick Smith.
Any chance you just don't worry about the words and start with showing your intent with some actions? Now, the bottomless pit of idiocy behind those comments by both men is both chilling and disturbing. If you're harassed short of King hitting, go for it. Now, that is insane. So inappropriate. If we didn't have WADA, we wouldn't have sport, because nobody would believe one thing that they saw on a football field, a track field, a swimming pool, anything.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith.
Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. I don't know how you scored Frank Lowy, but I gave him 8.5.
Tell you what, I was very concerned when he fell off the stage at 84 years of age. That could have been very, very dangerous. He's a very lucky man.
He certainly is, Kevin. He certainly is. Technically, I marked him down, but I thought his artistic impression was very good.
No, not to be laughed at, Patrick. He's 84-year-old man.
He's
tumbling
fine,
off the stage.
Kevin. He's bounced back up. He went up back up to try and fall
off
again.
Yes, he did. No, he did not. He did not try to fall off. I noticed David Gallop took up the position that Frank Lowy was standing in, so that was a wise thing to do. But that was nasty right at the end. I mean, obviously, the presentation is pretty important, but to see someone like Frank Lowy tumbling off the stage, I think, you know, it was a bit of a shock.
No, it's very scary. In actual fact,
I think the reports this morning saying that he's okay overnight, that, you know, there hasn't been any
he's
damage.
He's fine, Kevin.
Well, that's good.
He's fine. Quite a few suggestions for Goose of the Week were the people who actually designed that stage and without any guardrail. Probably fair comment, given.
Okay, so that came through off Twitter.
Yeah, last night, quite a few were upset with the lack of provisions or lack of safety provisions when an 84-year-old man is up there with a toilet seat.
Well, it's not a toilet seat, Pat.
We're taking
ticks and crosses from a huge weekend of sport, and maybe that is a cross that for those people designing those stages, for all those presentations that take place after sporting events, maybe you've got to be a little bit careful. Even the AFL one on Grand Final Day, you know, everyone jumps up on the stage and there's pushing and shoving. There was a couple of years there where, you know, some of the people presenting the Premiership Cup and, you know, are getting old.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, people jumping up on stage. So there's always that opportunity. Maybe it's something to look at.
Absolutely. Kevin, did you see any of the pre-game entertainment for the soccer?
No, I didn't, Pat. No, I was at the Richmond-Collingwood game.
A group called Peking Duck entertained. As far as I could work out, the lead singer jumped up and down and sang a menu. I don't think it was very good.
Is it on tape somewhere? Have we got any audio of it?
I think any tape would have been destroyed by now, Kevin.
Peking Just Duck. That was their name.
Yes, they're a group from Canberra, a music group from Canberra. And
well, maybe it's for the younger folk, Patrick. Maybe you're just an old fuddy-duddy and you don't like modern music.
Oh, I love Peking Duck, though. My favourite.
Okay.
But they didn't quite turn me on. But that was a great spectacle.
It was a great win. And yeah. For Kevin Muscat.
And it was.
To assemble this side, this is the first full year as a caretaker coach last year when he took over from Ange, and they've gone out, they've recruited magnificently. Maybe a team of champions playing as a champion team, Pat.
Yes, can
very hard to beat.
Can I have another little whinge? I hate it when the goal scorer knocks down, karate chops, kicks his teammates to get to that flag to in the corner to punch it or do whatever they have to do. It looks dreadful, and you know, you lose about four players in the process. You've got. Do you enjoy that, Kevin, or should they just immediately turn to their team?
Well, look, I have to ask our soccer fans. You see that a lot, where they sometimes do the aeroplane glide, and they actually do run away from their teammates. Maybe that's part of the celebration that, you know, teammates are supposed to try and get to you, but you try and get away from them. It's a soccer thing. I don't know.
Nobody got to John Aloisi till he was in Hobart, Kevin.
No, that's right. I said to John the other day when he was on the program on Friday, he's just stopped running. He laughed.
But it was fantastic. And congratulations to Victory. They're clearly the superior A-League side.
Well, two finals and you score six goals and no one scores against you. And what Kevin Muscat said was true too. And, you know, the fact is that they were seen and recognised as the best side of the competition. So with that comes a great deal of pressure, a lot of sides playing, you have nothing to lose. And, you know, during the week, Graham Arnold, you know, tried to talk up Sydney and tried to put down Melbourne. Victory get under the skins, I suppose, of the players and the coaches by suggesting they were the best side in the competition. If they hadn't lost four players at one stage during the course of the year, they would have won the plate by 10 points, all those sorts of things. But nothing worked, Pat.
No.
Nothing worked.
Great theatre with the crowds, too, beforehand. And there were a couple.
Gosh's paddock, there was a big setup.
Yeah, there were a couple of arrests. But the police said effectively it was exemplary behaviour from the crowd.
I reckon on grand final day for the AFL we have a few arrests as well, Pat.
Yeah, and that's just in the media.
I think that, you know, people like to sometimes focus on soccer and say there was you know, some people arrested, you know, after the game or during the game. But that happens at cricket, happens at football, happens at all sporting events.
Yeah, but the police were you know, full of praise for the crowd.
Now, you might get Goose of the Week yourself, Pat, today. I'm not quite certain what came off Twitter, but I think after people read your article today in The Australian, they may think that you are Goose of the Week.
Why would that be?
Because you're calling on Carlton to get Alistair Clarkson as their coach next year, that you're saying that the only person who can save Carlton is Alistair Clarkson.
I think that they've got no option but to pull out every trick in the book, every dollar they've got in their bank to try and woo Clarkson across. He's got a year to go, of course, with Hawthorn, but he's been there, what is it, a decade. If he wins the premiership, that'll be a hat trick.
Well, maybe there's four is a great challenge.
Four in a row, of course it is.
Yes.
But maybe that club and coach, they might feel that this is a good time to break at the end of the year. So
why?
Why would
Alistair Clarkson want a break from Hawthorn if he wins the premiership again three on the trot?
No, well, that's a good point. But it also is a good point that clubs get tired of each coaches and clubs get tired of each other. And
If you're winning premierships, they don't get tired of each other.
Well, have you run that by Mick Malthouse?
No, but they
have you run that by Mick Malthouse?
No, I haven't, Pat.
Thank you.
Because that decision was already made before he actually won a premiership.
Well, they still got rid of him, Kevin, after a premiership, okay? So it is possible that you'd move a premiership, that there's a parting of the ways between the coaches. he is the best coach for that club.
How much money would Carlton have to pay?
He went to Hawthorn.
Alistair Clarkson.
Well,
$2 million a year?
I've got no idea, Kevin. Whatever it takes. He went to Hawthorn. He had a dodgy list. He spent a couple of years building it up. He finally got into the finals with it. He's done at Hawthorn exactly what he needs to do at Carlton. I think that they'd be absolutely crazy if they did not make every attempt to get Clarkson.
Okay, 9429 1116. We'll take a break. We'll come back with your calls. You can always set the sporting agenda. Ticks and crosses from what was a huge weekend of sport. Your advice line to your club as well. 9429 1116. Welcome back. 21 minutes past nine. Let's hit the lines along with Patrick Smith, and Brian joins us from Williamstown. G'day, Brian.
G'day, boys. I woke up this morning, got in my car, and I heard this fool talk about our Hawthorn Football Club losing their coach. You've got to be joking.
Well, I think Patrick's joking. I think he could be a nomination for Goose of the Week, suggesting that Carlton should go after Alistair Clarkson after what takes place this year.
Well, I'm suggesting that Carlton, that's right, Carlton go after
Clarkson.
Clarkson. Brian, I...
You don't think they'll get him, though?
You think that's a silly idea for Carlton, do you?
It's a ludicrous idea.
For Carlton to go and get, for Carlton to get the best coach in the competition.
No, no, I'm saying as a Hawthorn member for 40 years, I'm telling you that we are a family there at Hawthorn. That's why we're so successful, because everything fits together and the wheel runs smoothly, not just with the coach, with everyone down to the guy that ties up the shoelaces.
So no chance that Clarkson would go.
Mate, I can guarantee you if he goes to Carlton, the game has lost all integrity, honesty, and love for anybody in this business that we're in.
Fair enough.
Patrick, I understand where Carlton may want Alistair Clarkson to be coach, but his chances of being coach are zero.
Do you think they should try and get him, Kevin? Do you think they should make every attempt?
Well, if they want to waste their time, a phone call only takes a couple of minutes. So he can put in a phone call and say, listen, any chance that you want to leave Hawthorn? You've won three premierships on the trot. We'd like you to come across here and take charge of Carlton. Now, they can make that phone call, Pat. You can make any phone call. But the chances of it happening would be zero.
I'm not so sure.
Okay. Paul's in Ringwood. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, Pat, I think you're very tongue-in-cheek, or you're just trying to antagonise Carlton supporters. The chance of Clarkson coming to Carlton is the same as Baum coming to Carlton. And for the same reason, Clarkson finished Ian Aiken's career. And the other thing about Clarkson is that he doesn't do the recruiting. He may be an organiser, but he's got people under him that are doing the donkey work and also doing the recruiting. So Carlton don't need to look for just a coach. They need to look for a whole...
Well,
you've
brought in your list manager for...
Soss, you got Soss.
You got Soss there for that. So that's not a worry.
New CEO, new president.
Yeah. I think if you think that they would stop at getting Clarkson because of what happened, how many years ago?
Oh, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago maybe?
I dispute that, Paul. I think if they had a chance to get Clarkson, they'd jump all over him.
Guess what? Trout has called through. We didn't hear from Trout last week.
No.
Now he's on the ABC, and the Tigers had a great win over the Pies. G'day, Trout.
Hello, Tiger boys. Just getting my voice back. We did it, KB. I told you Friday the Tigers will make you wrong. Now, you know what's even better than that, KB? And the fan was on the same weekend. It's great. I'm really happy. Looking forward to this week.
Just breaking up a little bit there, Trout, getting a little bit emotional. Got Port Adelaide this week. Now, there's a club that's got the wobbles up, Port Adelaide. And well done to Brisbane after that maybe shock win over Carlton last week. Have bounced back, and from the biggest basket case in the competition,
yes. Yep.
Even their CEO said they're
not competitive.
They come out and they knock off Port Adelaide. Well done.
Yeah, that's...
It's the beauty of football, isn't it?
It shows you how things can turn quickly. Absolutely.
And with the Tigers, it was great to see on the weekend.
Just who did you tip in that
match? I tipped Collingwood because...
Oh, that's probably why you're on the goose
of the week. My advice was, tell the midfield players they've got a responsibility to kick goals. Tell the midfield players when they go forward there's a responsibility to kick goals. They got 8 goals from the midfield players on the weekend, Pat.
Don't
go sideways. Go forward. Go forward. Try and play on with a bit of speed and make some changes just to shake up the place, Patrick. and they won.
So you're claiming it.
Absolutely. Jeff is from Tasmania. G'day, Jeff.
Morning, gentlemen. What a win. Talk about great wins by Melbourne Victory. I burnt my sausages trying to watch the Tigers come home on the TV.
You normally cook them on the TV?
I don't know, mate. But look, I rang purposely to speak to Patrick. I really admire that article you wrote in the Australian on the weekend. As a disenfranchised Essendon supporter, I thought it was bang on, mate. It was brilliant.
Thanks for that.
Well, just remind our listeners who didn't read the Australian on the weekend, Pat, what was it about?
Oh, well, it was essentially how the week had unfolded for Essendon. And I think that Essendon have reacted badly and people have reacted badly to WADA just following through on its commitment to police drug-free sport around the world.
James Hurd's father, Alan Hurd, actually has written a letter to someone in government, believing
sports
that
minister,
the sports minister, saying that, in effect, the international body of WADA is picking on really a local sporting body in this country.
Yes. Just think about that, Kevin. I mean, it's where WADA signatories. It's a world body policing sport around the world. And he's kicking up a fuss because we're tackling players who are earning $800,000. What about the little hockey, domestic hockey competitions? They are tested, Kevin. And they would fall under the full force of WADA. So does the gymnast who gives up her youth to compete for Australia. So Alan Hurd's remarks were incomprehensible, just didn't understand the issue, completely beyond him, the issue, and I think it was just flailing in defence of his son.
9429 1116 if you'd like to join us. This is what Damien Hardwick had to say on the weekend and why he decided to start Alex Rance in the midfield.
My wife all week was bugging me. She said, what are you doing? Yeah, it was... it was something we thought we'd trial, see how it went. Todd Elton's been playing some outstanding footy. I think Rance has probably got a new appreciation of how much work the mids actually do. Oh, listen, we feel at stages we've needed that bigger body midfielder through there, and Alex does present that. You know, we saw last week he probably provided something different that we haven't seen. It's fair to say it's probably not an experiment we'll be we'll be replicating next week.
But at the same time, at least Richmond tried to do something a little bit
different.
Change the mix up. I mean, obviously about 10 minutes into the game, they went back and put him back onto Travis Cloak. But Travis Cloak got some pretty good service. I'm not even quite certain whether Rance could have stopped some of those spearing marks that he took on his chest out in front of Todd Elton. But you've got to try something. And that was what was good about the Tigers on the weekend. It wasn't just the same old. Also, this is what Nathan Buckley had to say. He's a little bit concerned about Travis Cloak and the raw deal.
He dead set gets nothing from the umps. I don't know what it is. He gets nothing when he looks like he's been infringed, and he doesn't have to. He only has to sniff to give a free kick away. So I think Cambo and those guys are doing a fantastic job. I really admire the job that the umps are doing. But we need to understand what Cloakie's done wrong, because it's not working for him.
Well, do the fans think that Travis Cloak is hard done by, or is Collingwood just whinging, Patrick?
Well, it does bug Nathan, because I think that's the third year now that he said his key forward doesn't get a fair go. If my sympathy falls anywhere, it does fall slightly to Cloak. I think he's a big man, and Andrew Gaze made a good point, I think, that they get marked harder in those sort of big physical confrontations.
A bit of Neil Balm there in Nathan Buckley. Whack him and then pat him on the back.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
We'll take a break. 9429 1116. We're coming back with your ticks and crosses and your advice for your club. Your advice in sport over the weekend.
We're a little bit gutted, you know, if not for a ground ball, or can we win that game? We worked our way back into it. Couldn't be more proud of everyone and... almost beat the top side in round 7. Enormously disappointed for the players.
I'd be pretty excited if I was a Bulldog supporter on the weekend when those early scores come through. I think it was 5 or 6 goals and they hadn't scored a goal. Looked like it was going to be a whitewash, but they've got a bit of ability, got a bit of pride and a bit of spirit down there at the Bulldogs. They're a side to follow and watch.
But they're not, Kevin. Yes, you're right, but no one's watching them. They only got 18,000.
Well, they should be. They should be. This
is something.
This is something that. I mean, look, there were 16,000 for the Carlton game. Now, obviously, Carlton fans have just given up
on the
club.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an iconic club, but such a poor crowd. Fans have given up, I think, on the Blues. I know, talking to the boys who were calling that game, they were saying that, you know, the fans were leaving early. They were booing the team, the style of play. So they're given up. But if you're a Bulldogs fan, if you follow the Bulldogs, this is the time to jump on board because they're pretty exciting.
Oh, they're tremendous to watch. Tremendous to watch. And they were some sort of chance of nearly pulling that off.
Does that hurt Carlton? I know that Mark Lagudisciu says we're making no decision whether Mick is the coach or not the coach until, you know, towards the end of the season. But if they continue to lose and the fans desert them, does that change what takes place at Carlton?
Well, it hurts them all the time. It hurts them on every level, doesn't it? There's no hope with the supporters. That means memberships won't be renewed. Sponsors are wanting better, a better show for their money. I think it affects the brand. I think it can be quite to the detriment of the club. But if you announce that you've got Clarkson, then it all takes off. So, and Kevin, I think if they announced at the end of the year, say that they had got gone and got Luke Beveridge, but this is before he had coached. But they just announced our new coach next year would be Luke Beveridge, after Mick Malthouse. I don't think that's going to change the mood around the place.
Well, it will if they start playing like the Bulldogs. I think Carlton fans would jump on board pretty quickly. There's a lot of Carlton fans out there that don't go to games and don't sign up and don't become members. I'm certain if Carlton was to become a force again, you'd see Carlton, their membership could swell to 60,000 to 65,000.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think you took my point, Kevin, that...
Well, initially they may say, well, I don't know...
If you're replacing Mick Malthouse with Luke Beveridge, who had no profile...
Yes.
I don't know that you're moving the fans at all.
No, not initially.
No.
And the same may have been at the Bulldogs. But I think as this season goes on, I think Bulldogs fans will rally.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think they should be... You know, that's an awful crowd of 18,000 when those kids are trying their heart out and playing really, really watchable footy. Now, whether they're playing really watchable footy in round 18 is another thing, but you ought to be there now watching them because they're terrific.
Also, this is what Ross Lyon had to say about Nat Fyfe in his report. He's blaming Etihad Stadium.
But what I cannot talk about is the side of the ground that happened. The left-hand side's as dry as a chip, and the other side, people are slipping and sliding and slipping over like sprinklers have been on an hour before the game. So I'm not sure, but it was very confusing when I walked the ground, and that far side is wet and slippery, and one side of the ground's dry as a chip. So if someone can explain that to me. And that far end, you can see where everyone was slipping and sliding, and this side and this end was dry. So they're very confused AFL coach here, how their ground can end up in that state.
I suppose the question is, he may have a point there with the ground, but the point is, was he slipping and sliding, or was it a deliberate act of throwing the leg out? I'd like to ask the fans that with Fyfe. Do you think it was an intentional trip by Fyfe? At the moment, most people who follow the tribunal closely seem to think he'll be deemed to be intentional, but it was low impact and, of course, body contact because he got him in the leg by tripping, and that's around about a $1,500 fine.
Yep.
But ask the fans.
You got Stevie J up too.
Stevie J, was that intentional as well? Stevie J said it was an accident. He was a long way from the ball with his fist closed and
for a skilled footballer,
whacking McVeigh in the testicles. So I'd like to hear what the fans say there.
Wonder
whether
he's
or not
taken a mark in his life.
Yes. Whether or not you buy that it was an accident, or do you think it was intentional, or do you think it was careless? And then Jared Wade, of course, had his late hit also in a marking contest, getting his opponent in the back of the head. So you may like to give your thoughts on those decisions that will have to be made by the match review panel. And also, Jeff Kennett has called for the entire Melbourne board to resign en masse.
That's not an overreaction. By a cappuccino?
Why do you call Jeff Kennett cappuccino?
Because he's always frothing, Kevin.
Johnny's
get on to Johnny Ralph.
Johnny's in Werribee. G'day, John.
G'day, KB. How are you?
Good, John.
Love your program every morning, every day.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
The thing is, KB, the crowd, it was a bit disappointing yesterday for the Footscray game. And They had their chances, could have won that. And most people, what I'm hearing, is they just still want that Footscray banner back.
Look, I don't hear that. I know from time to time, John, we get someone saying, you know, make it Footscray and the fans will come rolling back. I just find that a bit hard to believe. And I think they tell us that all the surveys that they do, that's not the reason why people are not members of the Western Bulldogs.
No.
But I'm certain as this season goes on, surely those who follow, you know, the Bulldogs will jump on board, because it does look to be an exciting time. And to take on, no one gave them any chance against Frio, Pat.
No.
Even though they've been playing well, and I saw them beat Adelaide and beat Sydney. But, you know, to beat Frio, they're a great side, they're a machine. But, you know, to draw level after being about five or six goals down, and there was an incident with, I think it was Wallace and also Murphy, that probably cost them the opportunity of winning the goal, a bit of a fumble there. It was a great effort.
Yep, it was tremendous. They are a very exciting side, and it's up to the Footscray supporters who have longed for these moments to see their team play this sort of footy. It's up to them to get behind them.
Johnny's in Croydon. G'day, John. G'day, Johnny.
I won't take all that long, just five things. Melbourne victory, congratulations to them, a great win. Yep. Melbourne Storm on top of the ladder.
Yes.
Number three, Buckley to have more CR grapes. And number four, can you pick against us every week? And number five, one a minute.
I like it when people do their own audio.
Yeah,
that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Good on you, John in Croydon. Very happy with the Tigers. Go across next week to Port Adelaide, and poor old Port Adelaide, a bit wobbly now. Now, when you talk about the Bulldogs having a great season and being a surprise packet, I think most of us are absolutely shocked the way Port Adelaide are travelling at the moment. This was a side last year that they suggested that, you know, the fittest side, that Darren Birch is over there. No one could, you know, play four quarters against them. They'd run everyone into the ground everyone's getting tired. You know, this run and gun and fitness they've got. At the moment, they're very shaky.
Well, they had a really tough draw to start with. And then they ran into what should have been a sort of a couple of more reasonable matches and their chances of winning enhanced. But that didn't turn out that way at all. They're in a strife. They're a bit of strife, Kevin. Maybe their game plan has been analysed. Maybe their, you know, opposition sides are blocking off the
shutting them down.
Yeah. But they're in a spot of bother.
Okay. 9429 1116. Your ticks and crosses from a big weekend of sport. You can always ring the advice line. 9429 1116. 0433 98 1116. If you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29 or Hungry for Sport. We're coming back. We'll take more of your calls and Patrick's famous goose and goose, and you can always agree or disagree.
It's now time for Patrick Smith's Goose.
So I'm happy now at this moment.
And Goose of the Week. On 11:16 SEN.
Yes, Patrick's famous Goose and Goose, and you can always agree or disagree. I know you get a lot of advice off Twitter.
I do, which I'm very grateful for. A Goose, you certainly got nominated, Kevin, for dropping off Richmond for the first time in 20 years.
Inspirational, Pat.
Well, it turned out your coaching was.
Inspirational. Honest assessment, Pat.
A lot of players were critical of Mark McClure, a past player, venting his spleen. I think that's unfair. Mark McClure's been in the commentary for a long time now. I don't think he's seen essentially as a past player.
He called on Carlton to sack Mick Malthouse this week, and he said if they don't sack Mick Malthouse, Carlton's not the club he thinks it is.
That's exactly right. The England Cricket Board got a good pasting in Goose for the way they handled Kevin Peterson. But I've given it, Kevin. Oh, and the people who organised the A-League presentation, they were a popular nomination for Goose. But the overwhelming reply was for the match day experience. I think now that we've seen it for seven rounds, people hate the noise and this new lighting, and they just want to watch footy, Kevin. So it's early doors. But we've seen 7 weeks of it, so I'm happy to go with that. Match day experience is the Goose of the Week.
Oh, okay, that's one from left field.
Yes, but very popular among our listeners. Now, Goose may could nearly have been Minji Lee. She's two shots ahead in the Kingsmill Championship after 14 holes.
This is a young Australian girl.
She's 18.
Never won a tournament yet. She's just gone on to the tournament as the best amateur in the world.
Yes.
As a professional, I should say.
Yes. So she's,
So it's too early because
she's four holes apart.
It's still happening.
She could. Let's hope she.
So retrospectively, could she be added?
No, okay. Because I think this one is a standout winner. It's better than Matthew Dellavedova's performance in Game 6, which was fantastic. Highly recommended too. With the authority that the Tigers leaders Cochin and Co. played with against Collingwood. But really, Kevin, the standout winner, easy winner, was Melbourne Victory as Goose of the Week.
That's a good call, Pat. You can't go past the Victory.
No,
they've been the best side all year, and when it counted the most, they stood up and they played absolutely magnificently. So Patrick's nominations, Melbourne Victory, Goose of the Week, and the Goose of the Week
is that
match day experience.
Yep.
Give us your thoughts. Did Patrick miss anyone? Jason joins us from Bundoora. G'day, Jason.
Yeah, good morning, KB and Patrick. KB.
Yes.
Take your mind back a fortnight ago on Friday with Richo.
A fortnight ago, yep.
You asked Richo, when was the last time a horse ran in the Pakenham Cup and did any good? And he had a bit of a laugh and things like that, but...
Went on to win a race after that.
Yes.
Yep.
I've got the answer for you.
What is it?
It was my boy Kareeming on the weekend.
He won?
Yes, and it was one of your tips on Friday with Richo. He lost by a head to Toolibuck Kid in the Pakenham Cup. And he saluted it by two lengths in race 7 on Saturday. So everybody was wrapped.
Value!
This bloke head's going to get so big.
Magnificent. Well done to Jason in Bundoora, and well done to Richo
well done,
as
Jace,
well.
Yep.
And that Pakenham Cup, I've always said it's a very
great
good
form guide.
It's a very good form guide.
Yep.
If you can do well in the Pakenham Cup,
you'll do well anywhere,
Kevin. Good on you, Jason. Zach is in Roval. G'day, Zach.
G'day, Kevin and Patrick.
Ticks and crosses.
Can I give a cross goose to the Melbourne Football Club? I am sick of it. 7 years ago, round one, 2008, Melbourne lost by 100 points to Hawthorn. 7 years later, where are we? Losing by 100 points to bloody Hawthorn. I'm so over it.
Yes, I can understand that.
I see Paul Roos has also said there's no chance that he's going to continue on after next year, because obviously Simon Goodwin's the coach in waiting, but maybe someone must have asked him that question, that maybe it's going to take a little bit longer than expected, and would he maybe even continue after next year? And he said no.
No, that's it. But that's been a strong position all along of his. The Melbourne performance was a bit of a shock, because they had been playing quite well or better, and they looked to be sort of playing to a more attacking game plan, they were scoring a little bit more, last year they were defending a lot. They just fell apart on the weekend, and I can imagine Melbourne supporters, it was a bit of a kick in the guts.
And Jack Watts put his own hand up, we've learnt.
Yes.
Saying, drop me out of the side, I'm not playing well enough to be in the senior side, I want to go back and find a bit of form.
Do you find that odd?
Well, it's a very honest appraisal of someone's performance. I've never heard of that before myself, a player approaching and saying, I don't want to be in the team. I know there was just recently Adam Goods was a substitute, and they tell us that he didn't want to be the sub after the first game. He wanted to go back and play some form. So maybe in that case, his age and all that sort of stuff. But in case of a young player still making his way in the game, it's a bit unusual. But you'd have to say it's very, very honest appraisal from Jack Watts if he says to the coach, look, don't play me.
I think he's a pretty smart cookie if he thinks, look, if I go around in the seniors again, my confidence is shot. I'm not going to do myself any good at all. If I could get down and just feel the ball a bit and get a few touches and get start enjoying it again, then I'm a chance to go back into the seniors and really contribute. So I think it was a very wise thing to do. If he felt that his form wasn't there and it would only deteriorate, then he did the right thing.
And also, you forgot to mention Storm's great win over the reigning premiers, the Rabbitohs, as well, Pat, on the weekend.
Well, I did too, yeah.
No mention as far as Goose and Goose is concerned?
No, they've got a problem there, Kevin, with Cameron Smith.
Well, some of the SMSs are saying, this one says, anyone defending the act by Cameron Smith to twice stomp his opponent in the face with his studs, how many weeks would that be in the AFL? I'm sure it would be reported differently if someone did it to Smith or Slater. I've seen the vision of that, Pat. I'm not quite certain all the rules in AFL when players jump on top of you, but you see the players all the time sort of kicking their legs and trying to get up all the time, because if they don't not allowed to get up, there can be a penalty, and they do that all the time, and in doing that, he's actually he's hit this bloke in the face maybe once or twice.
Well, it's definitely twice. Are you just an apologist?
No, I'm saying once or twice, because there's legs going in all directions, and there's about four blokes sitting on top of him. I don't know what the rules are, the way they look at those sorts of things in rugby league, because they do a lot of silly things in rugby league, such as lifting up players, and you're allowed to lift them up only up to a certain height and dump them on their heads, all those sorts of things. Yeah. Crazy stuff. So I'm not quite certain whether against the rules of rugby league. I need our rugby league people to tell me when someone's on the ground and they're trying to get up, and you see them all the time, you know, throwing and thrashing their legs around, how they would perceive that.
Yep.
So we need some experts. 9429 1116. Just had a match review panel here, Patrick. Peter and Joey, of course, the world's greatest panel operator and the chosen one as a producer, went along to the game, watched the Storm against the Rabbitohs.
Yep.
They said they loved it. No idea of the rules or why certain plays take place, but they absolutely loved the game, even though they didn't know what they were watching. But they believe that he gets off.
Well, that's an informed opinion, Kevin.
It is.
Very lucky to have those two wise gentlemen.
They just held their own match review panel, and they said Cam Smith gets off.
I had no idea what they saw, but think he gets off. I'll go with that. I'm happy to go with that. Now, just Minji Lee, Kevin, four shots clear.
You're sure retrospectively she can't come alongside Melbourne Victory?
She can't knock off the Victory, Kevin.
SMSs are saying, when I was a boy at Carlton, we had a great match day experience. It was called winning. You're getting a tremendous amount of support for your Goose of the Week. Jamie in Box Hill, I hate the flashing ads around the ground. This is the best Goose of the Week ever. Match day experience is embarrassing and boring and a complete waste of money.
Another theme all year, Kevin.
We just get blasted with ads and noise at the football. I'd much rather see the seconds play before the main match.
Yep.
So a lot of support for your nomination this week, Pat.
Yeah. No, well, it's not my nomination. It was overwhelming on Twitter last night and has been a theme through the season. So I had to promote it up to Goose of the Week.
Brendan Goddard, of course, was disappointed. He swore at Jack Zeeble. Called him a weak so-and-so. He's upset with Channel 7. He feels he's got stitched up by Channel 7.
Because I think he was.
They didn't hit the dump button.
Yeah, I don't think he was.
The problem is they don't have a dump button.
Yeah. That's why it's hard to hit, Kevin.
Yes. I would say that what Brendan's got to do is make certain he doesn't swear at opponents.
You're never going to stop that, though, Kevin. It's disrespectful, isn't it, that sort of language? Yes, it is. One of the ramifications of going live, Kevin.
Pat, we'll speak to you again tomorrow.
Yes, sir.